In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hello, and welcome to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Fried. It is such a pleasure to be back here with you, Jordana. How are you? Tell me about your life.
My life is good. Things are great.
How's that post-engagement glow? Do you feel it?
I feel it. It's starting to, you know, like all things in life, it's very exciting. And then life goes back to normal. Things go on. The thing that they don't really tell you about getting engaged is all the stressful shit that comes after in terms of, like, now you got to, like, plan a whole event.
So, the planning starts immediately. That's what I don't understand. Like, to me, I would think you get, like, the engagement, and then it's like, okay, we'll take a week, whatever. You know, like, this is...
I want to do that, and I don't want to do that. It's a very weird feeling, because part of you is like, oh, let's, like, enjoy this moment. And part of you is like, well, got to nail down, like, the date and the time and, like, the thing. And then, like, I got to time this wedding so that I do it early enough that I can still have children and I'm not too old. Like, you got, like, your mind spirals. Like, I hate it. I'm telling, like, the audience here, like, I think it's a terrible quality in me and other people who have it, but, like, I cannot stop thinking about, like, 3 years down the line, which is, I think, probably what makes men so irritated, which I get.
Like, we are right into the opening topic of today's podcast, because
I can feel myself being annoying already.
What you're saying is shivers are going down my spine. Like, it's like, you know, when they teach you how to drive and they tell you, look, two cars in front of you, or whatever they say. They say don't look directly in front of you. I think every guy drives looking, like, beneath the
directly.
Car, and women are looking at, like, 7 miles down the road. And it's got to be the answer is somewhere in the middle, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think there's, like, a healthy dose of both is good, but, like, I think that's almost the biggest tension of, like, dating, or, like, I feel like after you have kids, that must be, like, the weirdest time to be with a person, because there's nothing, like, once you're done having kids, it's kind of like, now it's just, like, our life.
Well, I did read, I did, that's a very, what you just said is, like, actually very, like, profound, because it is very applicable to our generation and below. Like, you know, I did read somewhere that, like, and I don't mean to bring up bad things for anyone listening, but that postpartum depression is, like, higher than it was years ago. I read this, like, you know, you find these articles, and there's a part of me that understands that, considering, like, the glow, like, you put up the engagement picture, you have 2 days of, you are a celebrity in your own circle.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, 3 days later, we're on to the next engagement. Who's the next bride? You're on to plan the fucking wedding. 3 years, you better have a baby going. Like, it is like, and so when you have a baby, like there's nothing but events and nothing but events that get likes. And then you get that first baby, and then it's like, okay, the likes are gone. The dopamine drip is over.
What do you get, the first birthday? No one cares about that.
And and every birthday after, they care less and less.
Well, here's the thing. Every birthday after, the weird thing about becoming an adult, I think, is, like, after the wedding and you have the first kids, then it's, like, not about you anymore.
No, you're not the star of the show.
Right, the star of the show is the kid who's going to be going through it's like a vicious cycle. Then they, you know, they're going to get older and have their first word, and, like, nothing is, there's no more milestones for you anymore, really.
Well, it's kind of, like, why I love doing this podcast and hearing from people is, like, you know, I think that sometimes, and I'm like, man, I am fucked up. And then I hear you say it, and I'm like, okay, at least two of us. If both of us are thinking this a little bit, then it's got to be a thought that's going on everywhere. Like, I see it with, like, I mean, this is going to sound, this isn't a baby, but I see it with like good Instagram posts. That if I have a post that does really well and then I'm like, okay, I got to do the next one. And then that one doesn't give me the drip that the other one gave me. I'm like, man, I've really fucked up.
Right. It's like we're chasing this high of like this thing, like, and then it's kind of, I mean, not to get almost like more meta than this already meta conversation, but then it's like, is this all life is? Just like just a series of, like a series of like milestone Instagram posts that you get attention for, and then it wanes down, and then it's life, and then it goes up, and then like, it just kind of like, I mean, not to get depressing, but like, I mean, there's a sense of like, what?
What's it all for?
What's the point?
Well, you know what it's all for people to share this podcast. This is a perfect moment to let people know how much we need you to share this. This is our happiness is truly connected to the success of this podcast. And not to backtrack a little, because I want to talk more about this, but the Sunday special episodes, the response has been pretty amazing. I don't know if a podcast should be 30 minutes and below, and that's why it's doing so well, or if we're just hitting, I think it's nice that we're like, we're finding subjects that, what's that?
I think it's people like also that there's like one topic and we're like getting into it. Yeah.
Right away. There's none of this banter of us getting depressed about Instagram posts not doing well. Yeah. But you know, listen, some podcasts are for some people, some are for others. All we ask, share, share, share. Tell a friend, make it your Instagram story. We're on Spotify. So if you have a friend that's like, I know what happens. You tell a friend, hey, I got this great podcast. And they go, I'm not a podcast person. And then they take out a torch and they try to ward you away. Listen, let them know. We're on Spotify. It's a very easy transition from the music you listen to us two talking about dating and relationships. I have to say, like, I do think about this stuff a lot where it's like, what, you know, it's these big events of dating and relationships and the first couple's picture. Like, this relates to everybody. This isn't just an engagement. This is the, when do we get the first couple's picture? The first Instagram story with your significant other.
Right. The first elbow in the corner of the Instagram story for you. That was probably a big milestone.
Huge milestone. And I think you get that response. You feel it. It feels good. This podcast is about uncomfortable conversations had comfortably. So I think the most uncomfortable thing to kind of admit is that it does go through you. You can't avoid the feeling badly when you see an ex with a new significant other. It's just the minute you see it, it goes through your eyes, into your body, out your anus, and you're like, oh my God, I just shit out diarrhea.
Right.
And to admit that, you know, and you have your friends go, just look away. Don't get mad. Oh, okay. Oh, I feel better now. Like, what the fuck?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's all such a big part of like modern dating that I wonder what that used to be for people who didn't have that. Just like seeing someone on the street or like, what was the version that our parents had of that? Of like,
I think we taste everything more. Yeah. You know, I think it's like
in your face here. Before you would just have to like,
sure, like the highs are high and the lows are low. I think our families and our parents might have lived a more like medium lifestyle of like the high, you know, like on the EKG chart, it kind of went up and down, up and down.
Right.
Ours have spikes in it. Like, you know,
you get more information. Yeah.
More information. And you don't know when it's going to come. All of a sudden, you're scrolling Instagram, and then someone you've touched genitals with just comes on the screen. Like, you can't avoid that.
No one ever had to deal with that before, right?
No. You deal with it at the yogurt shop, and you'd see them with their new family, and they were fat and old.
And then you'd feel shitty for, like, a day, and then you would never see them again, and it would, you know.
And yeah, you'd change your own baby, and everything would be back to normal. So, do you have anything going on? Before we get going to the emails, is there anything going on?
Well, on this note of bridal wedding life moments that are inevitably pointless in the grand scheme of the universe, I will be hosting the Betches Brides podcast. So if you guys are interested in any of the logistical stuff that I'm going through, the logistical nightmares of planning a wedding in the midst of COVID-19. So head on over to Betches Brides starting this September.
So there's a Betches Brides podcast. I haven't listened, but I would say I'm sure that audience is easygoing and they are very level-headed.
Relaxed.
About the whole process and not judgy at all. So I'm excited for you and your new venture. How does the Betches Brides podcast go? What's kind of like the structure of it, if you don't mind me asking? Because for people here, they're already podcast listeners. They're probably looking for more. What would they get?
A lot of it is this podcast is more like psychology, I would say, or like, you know, dating trends and things like that. The Brides podcast is, some of it is like, we're wedding planning. So like literally like, how do I go about picking a florist or like, you know, finding a wedding band or planning something in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah.
And then, but the other part of it that I think is also really interesting is just the psychology of going through all these things and like getting ready to actually get married, which is like one of the biggest things that you're ever going to do in your life. And I look forward to like sort of exploring like the psychology of that. And also just like the history behind a lot of these traditions that we have in weddings. That was something that even when looking at a ring, I was kind of like, where did this thing come from? Like, what kind of crazy marketing scheme is this that like everyone has to buy what a great diamond, whoever does the marketing for diamonds are forever, manages to make everyone think like you have to buy this expensive diamond in order to move on with your life, which is like, they did a great job. Where does this come from? I'm looking forward to
the De Beers company is magical geniuses. To add on to that, Adam Ruins Everything is a show that was on True TV, and I think they're all on Hulu now or Netflix. I'm not sure which, but they do an episode on why you give a diamond ring. Adam Conover, who's a funny comedian.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it's called Adam Ruins Everything. And it's interesting because Adam Ruins Everything kind of has this reputation for like, it's called Adam Ruins Everything, but that they're kind of like taking away like all the fun of it.
Right.
You know, like, and they do that.
It's like
with
you're seeing how the meat is made.
Exactly. I love a hot dog. I don't want to know what's in the hot dog. So I think I would encourage, go listen to the podcast, but also that's a great episode where he talks about the diamond ring and how it came to be. Yeah.
I'm going to check that out before I, you know, take a lot of that content and repurpose it for Betches Brides.
Well, I think also what podcasts do is it gets you an opportunity to listen to two people speak honestly. And there's a lot of dishonesty when it comes to weddings. I mean, and there's a lot of dishonesty that comes to dating and relationships, but I would say the bride game, it's under this, and I'm kind of like, just from living with my girlfriend, you kind of see that the layers to female relationships seemingly have, it's like a 7-layer dip as opposed to just having some salsa. Like my relationship.
There's a lot of unspoken competitiveness among female friends as it pertains to life milestones that only get, I think, more intense as you get older because everyone starts off on the same like playing field essentially. Yeah. And then I think that like when it comes to life moments, things get a little like not overtly competitive, but just like almost like subconsciously or like overtly competitive. And like it is a big part of female friendships as you get older.
Well, I've said it on this podcast and it's not fair, but it seems to be the reality to me that the person with the ring is the winner and the person who's single is the loser. And when I'm sitting with a bunch of dudes, that's not the case at all. I've never sat with like my married buddy and been like, man, we're all looking up to him. Like there's things in his
life.
But
there's other things that you guys probably like have that we don't really have the pressure of either. So I assume like when you're at a group of guys, the guy who's like, you know, making a shit ton of money and like owns his own company or is like, you know, killing it out there is like sitting next to the unemployed guy and like one of them feels like the loser and one of them feels like the winner.
Yeah. Or we're all talking about the unemployed guy because he couldn't afford to go out to brunch with us.
I'm saying there's none of that really in that's kind of, I guess, a nice thing in some ways in like the female community. There's no real sense of like this person is like more worthy because they like have a better job. I don't really find that there's like a sense of that, at least not that I see.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't think that they were more worthy, but I'd be like, I know what you mean. Like, it's just like that is thought of. What does that guy do? I mean, And that's fair and unfair, too. Like, it's unfair to women that no one says, like, hey, what do you do for work? They're like, where's the baby? Let me see it. You know, like, right. I that's not
let
fair
me see
either.
The ring. Let me
yeah.
see.
Yeah. You know, when, so I that's very exciting. I'm excited for you. I think that'll be a great podcast. I think anyone who listens to this would love that show.
Yeah, check it out. And there, if you like are curious, I'm not going to talk about any of that logistical stuff on this podcast because I just don't think that's what it's about. But if you are interested in any of the stuff that I'm planning or like my thoughts around that, like listen to Brides, you'll get all of it there and hopefully you find it interesting. And I'm always open to feedback. So DM me if you have any thoughts on things that you would love to see more on there or things you would like to see less of. Very open to constructive criticism.
Love it. Before we move on, let me mention one thing. I'm coming to Long Island for shows. I'm going to Long Island, Philly, Long Island and Philadelphia. So if you're out there and you want to come to a fun, I think they're both outside. So socially distanced outdoor shows, jaredfree.com, jaredfree.com. Also, I have a YouTube page that I'm trying my best. I'm pouring all of my money into the YouTube and it's doing very badly. So I want, if you're here and you're like, and you're not a YouTube person, you know, sign up for an account and then follow me and like subscribe to my page. I'm putting out videos Monday through Friday on YouTube.
And those are free?
Free.
Free
and I can't get anyone to watch. Yeah. So
check
Monday
it out.
Through Friday, I'm putting stand up on there. I'm putting, you know, coronavirus stand up clips. Of course, I'm not making fun of people dying, but I'm making fun of the reality of the atmosphere.
The corona culture.
The corona culture. Exactly. Like anything that we do, you know. So,
right.
YouTube.com/JaredFreed, YouTube.com/JaredFreed. Also, Long Island and Philly, JaredFreed.com. But go ahead, please.
Love Long Island. That's my hometown. Where are you
That's
going
right.
to Long Island?
It's the Brokerage. It's
what
a comedy
town?
Club. It's, I don't know, in a
it's
town that has...
It's all the same to you, isn't it?
Yeah, in a town that has a lot of Italian delis. I don't know.
That's great.
It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real. I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at BowlandBranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, BowlandBranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you to achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I think today's topic is important for anyone in any stage of relationship, but I want you to explain what you're get into
so
it for us.
I first of all, I want to say thank you to all the listeners. I've never felt like anyone in my life was as happy for me as like some of the messages and comments and like DMs that I got after this engagement. It felt really good, and in some ways almost insulting to the fact that like some people like just didn't believe it would happen.
It's kind of like when you lose weight and someone's like, oh my God, it's like, okay, say the nice thing and move on. No, we never thought. We thought you were going to die.
I've been waiting so many years for no, but I don't know. It was really, it did feel really good that so many people like, I feel like honored to be like, that people are so invested in like my relationship and are so happy for me. And I felt really nice to get a lot of those messages and to have people who were supportive.
Let me add on to that. I forgot this is the first time we've taped since that aired.
Yeah. So I haven't had a chance to thank everyone.
I have to say, I felt personally invested. I felt like a sibling. I felt like a family member got married. And I did have that moment where I was like, and I posted it and I was like, oh, I feel a little weird like making this my Instagram story.
Because no,
I was like,
I felt so honored.
I was very, very happy for you and Mike. I think it's like, I think also like, if I could speak for the listeners a little bit, I think, because I'm kind of with them where I'm like, you know, watching the progression. We've been here for the whole relationship. We've heard you honestly speak. It's not, we're not seeing your life in a series of Instagram captions. We're here, if you're a fan of this show, we're hearing your life in honest, sometimes not very, you know, like, you know, PR ready moments. And a lot of these people that are getting married, engaged, it feels very PR. It feels like the line goes straight up and up and up. And it's not like that.
Right.
And I think
it
that's,
feels like
I think
easy.
People have, yeah. And I think people appreciate your honesty and your candor. And I think, also like the, you specifically, you want this to be the right thing. It doesn't feel like there was, you know, Mike and you feel very honestly a thought out relationship instead of just like, well, he's a guy that would. It doesn't feel like that. And I think sometimes when you see it on Instagram or you see it on social media or you have a friend that's just like, you know, the first to get married and first to the finish line, you're like, well, you sprinted the whole race. You didn't even enjoy the scenery.
Right. Or it seems like sometimes when it's too fast, you're like, this seems unfair. What is the life hack that you did to get here.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I'm glad I was very happy that you posted too. It felt like, cause I feel like, again, I think when we started this podcast, I was like 3 or 4 months into dating Mike. And I really did like, you know, hash out a lot of our like issues and things that we encountered and like bumps along the road with you and like got to hear almost his side through you articulated through someone who does this professionally. and it was really helpful. And I think that it has been a big part of, I mean, like, you can't run a dating podcast next to the person you're dating and not, you know, have that be a part of your dating experience.
I mean, I mean, today's email is going to be fodder for discussion, but in my own relationship, but I will say I could understand how I'm sure a lot of the DMs were like, I feel like I'm invested. I totally get where they're coming from. Cause I felt that way too. And we're all so happy for you, Jordan, I got
to
say.
Thank you so much. But that leads me to my next point, which is that it's funny because like after the episode came out, I got a lot of like, you know, thanks for sharing the story and happy. But the thing people really wanted me to elaborate on more or asked for more information on was the part where they were like, well, let's go back to the point where you said that he wasn't sure. Like, let's get into that deeper because like I want to know about that. And I think that is like, we're talking about like the realities of like engagement and dating and like people want to know that reality because it's so rarely spoken about after the fact, because after something works out, like we kind of like to pretend like we always knew it was going to work out or we always knew
Monday,
it was going to be
Monday morning quarterback.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is not the case. So I think that's what really people felt like resonated with them. So I'd like to like get a little bit more into that. And like this girl DM'd me, I asked her if we could share it on the podcast and sort of, she said it was great. She wanted to hear your take on it too.
Let's do it.
I've gotten a few like this, so I thought it'd be a great thing to sort of get into.
Let's do it.
So she wrote, "Hey, Jordan, I love the You Up podcast, and I actually have a question for you about the episode where you talked about your engagement. I wanted to first thank you for being so honest about your process of getting engaged and talking to Mike about getting married. I love normalizing that it's not always this fairy tale. Recently, I've been having conversations with my boyfriend of 2 years about marriage down the road. He said, almost similar to Mike, just expressing his unsureness of getting married. I wanted to know how you handled that when Mike said that he was at first unsure. I love my boyfriend, but I want to get married. Not right away, as we are 26 and 27, but for sure know it's something I want, and I don't know if it's something you think some guys just get super nervous about or if this is a deal breaker and I need to move on. His reasoning is that it's just so expensive, and having that big step scares him, mainly because he just doesn't want to change his lifestyle as it is right now."
Yeah, this is
that is a great question.
It's a great question. I read this before, and I want to make sure that people who are listening, if you're single, if you're sitting there in a bunch of 3-monthers and you're like, this doesn't relate to me, I would say it does. This relates to you completely. Every guy who has said, I'm not ready for a relationship, is saying that for the same reason that this guy in the DM said, he said he's similar, he's unsure of getting married. And it's the same reason Mike said he was unsure at the time. Like, it all right. Kind of relates to me. If you don't think it relates, you're out of your fucking mind, is what I'm saying.
Well, I'd love to hear the male sort of take on it coming from, like, I mean, like, I can tell you how we dealt with it and how...
Well, tell me how you dealt with it, because I too was impressed, but also, like, shocked at the honesty of, like, the way you said that Mike said that to you, where he's like, I'm not sure yet. Like, that had to have been very difficult for him to say, because he's living with you. He loves you. He's it's not about you, I would assume.
It's not about me, but there was a thing. I mean, it was sort of about, it was about me and it wasn't about me. Cause there is a sense, like, I think the hardest thing to hear, which was the honest truth from him, was that, like, yeah, he doesn't know if there's a better match out there for him than me. Like, I don't, honestly, like, I don't know that either. I think as a woman, like, I'm sort of, like, trained to, like, not think about that as much or not care about it that as much, or maybe it's just, like, a more of a, like, you know, pairing, like, biological thing, but that's not, but I mean, after he said that, that was something I thought about too. It's kind of like, but the way I dealt with that, I mean, I spoke to my therapist about that. It's funny because I kind of wanted to talk about it on the podcast then, but it didn't really seem, I wanted to wait until I worked through that to really bring it here. And I remember talking to my therapist and I was like, yeah, it's like kind of insulting. He was like, he doesn't know if there's a better match out there for him. And what my therapist said was like, yeah, like that would be an insulting thing to hear on the day he proposes. Like, I think that would be like a pretty bad thing to say as he's pulling out the ring.
He's on one knee. He's like, I just want to let you know that
I'm not really sure, but
yeah, this will do for now. We'll see.
Right. But what he said is, like, I think that that's, like Mike is a rational, normal guy. And, like, what he's saying is, like, an accurate thing. Like, you could be with the guy who's, like, I am obsessed with you. And I know there will never be a better person out there for me than you. And, like, and you're the best thing that's ever happened. And you're amazing and incredible. And, like, all this stuff, which might be true, but it's not the whole story. And he's like, he said, I don't really think that you would enjoy being with someone who looked at life so, like, enthusiastic without any sort of sense of, like,
no cynicism,
looking at, like, looking at the reality or the realism of what's going, of, like, what's true. Because what is true is that we haven't met everyone in the world, and that there could be a better match for every single person out there who is happy. And that's, like, that's just the truth of life. That's, like, that's an accurate statement. And so, and I thought it was brave of him to actually say that to me in some ways, because I think that's a real rational fear. And I've had that before. I mean, I'm sure we've all had, like, fights with someone or arguments or disagreements about, like, big things or blowout fights where we're kind of like, could I find someone who's different or better for me in this way that I'm fighting with this person?
Also, there's the idea and I've talked about this with male friends. I've talked about this with friends who've gotten divorced and then remarried. They're like, you know, they have a baseline to compare it to. You know, like I don't know why a lot of men think this way, but like, you know, Jess and I get in fights and I go, is this like a real fight or is this working? Is this us communicating? You know, like, am I arguing with someone that I'll never get on the same page with about this subject? Or am I working on this with someone that I am generally not, you know, maybe this is unworkable.
Is this too fundamental of a difference between us? Or is this something that could be small?
And you don't have a baseline to compare it with. Like, I, you know, for a guy that's been divorced, they can go, well, in the last relationship, we used to discuss things like this, and this is how it went, and it sucked, and it was awful. And now it's like we get in arguments, but it's so much more constructive. I'm like, yeah, I don't have the other person. Like, you know, like I dated a lot of people, you know, and had good relationships, but I don't think I ever had what I have now to like compare it to as far as like, are we working towards better or are we just, you know, and then working alongside each other and just screaming our points and then getting over it, you know?
Right.
So I also think, and to this email, the things he says, I relate to completely. Like the idea of like expensive, when he says it's expensive, he's not saying that a wedding's expensive. He's saying that this starts the spending phase of life.
Yeah.
You know, like the idea that like,
that's,
you know,
become very real to me in the past.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, yeah, it's not just the wedding. It's when's the baby, you know, every question precedes the next one. Like, when's the baby? When's the wedding? Okay, when's the baby? When's the second baby? When are you moving to the house? When are you going to, you know, like, the hits keep on coming. And I'll never understand why women don't think of this as much or don't seem to be afraid of this as much. But but part of it has to be that also men aren't presented with, like, you see a lot of men that are either like crushed by marriage or they're doing okay. Like, you don't see a lot of men flourishing, you
right.
know, like they don't go and lose a bunch of weight and start looking good while they get married. All your married friends, they start to fucking lose it. And it's in everything, you know,
you don't think they're happier at all.
I'm not saying I don't think they're happier, but they're not exactly voicing that to you.
Well, when they have more stress, you're saying.
Well, I'm a little bit rambly here because there's so much that I get so many feet. Because, like, you have, first of all, as a single guy, every older guy is somehow telling you how great their single life was. They're all like going on and on. Oh man, you'll understand one day. They make no blowjobs when you're married. Like, that's even like a surface level thing. But then it's like,
right,
every married guy I've ever met turns in the, like, and I've done this joke on stage before, where they like turn into like the old man in the gas station before the mountain where everyone's gonna get killed. They're like, you don't want to go up there, like. None of them are it's the best. You're going to love it. You're going to be, and you're going to have these two kids. I text with friends all the time with kids and I'm not, I hope I'm not pointing out anyone specifically. I'm thinking of them all kind of generally right now, but I'm saying like, we're like, they're like, oh, and I'm hearing it now because of Corona where they're stuck in the house and they're like, we're going to the beach, but I'm going with my two fucking kids and they won't shut the fuck up. And
right.
It's like,
well, maybe they're also saying that because, like, you don't want to hear, like, and little John said the cutest thing at lunch today. Like, you're not exactly the audience for like
but I do get the positive
about the kids.
I am on the group chat where it's so and so was born today, and I get sent the picture, mm-hmm. and I do get the nice things. I don't talk about them because they're just not as funny. But I don't know. It's like there is an element of like for this guy where she's like, you're and also divorced men aren't the most fun people to look at. Divorced men are like fucking ruined. And you don't hear about like like they've like lost all their money. They've lost their mind. Seemingly, they're dressing like they're 15 when they're 80. Like I the idea of being a divorced guy is a very scary idea to me.
Right.
And Jess just yelled, "You would be fucked." See, people just yell at
"We're gonna take you for everything that you've got.
You got nothing left." And it's like, listen, I see this in my own small way where it's like I was living in Harlem in my apartment that I could afford. I felt like I had a handle on it. I'd done the math. You know, I had a mortgage. I'm like, I'm an adult who had everything in order. And then I get in a relationship and I'm very happy. And you know, Jess is like, "Hey, I think we should move in together downtown." And I'm like, okay. And it's like, now it's like, okay, well now for someone I love, this is the consideration I'm making. And I agree with her. I was like, I'm so happy. Like the apartment we have now is great, but there's costs that come with that. It's not like I was like going into like, "Oh, whoa, give me a," you know, like it didn't become,
right.
It wasn't all fun and games. And I think a lot of like, you know, the dating game from this podcast, a lot of women are like horrified by the dating game. They're horrified by the amount of men who come at them just to fuck or just to do this. And it's like, yeah, for those guys, like that doesn't take any real mental like work. That doesn't take any responsibility. That doesn't. And I know that's
there's
sad
no growth
to some people.
There either, though, like the guys who are doing that forever are like in the same place, maybe a little richer.
Totally.
And but when like I was they're not, what, their life is what, the same.
Well, and that's great. That's a lot more simple. And listen, I've never had the thoughts of like the other day, Jess said to me, she's like, "Do you want to be an old dad?" And I'm like, "Why'd you gotta put that in my fucking head?" Like, I didn't get, I wasn't even thinking
that's a
that
good
the other
one.
Day.
I'm going to use that on.
Yeah, it was a real good side door karate move into what are you fucking doing?
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
I just have never had those moments, like until recently, of like, man, like what you said, where it's like 3 years ahead, where I'm like 35. Well, if we're not married by 37, now I'm 40 with a 1-year-old, and it's like she's even yelling that seven. Like Like that math never really occurred to me as far as like life was concerned. And So I think like, and this also, both of these sides of the argument have to do with like biological clock. When you have one and the other guy doesn't, he can fucking sit around and go, maybe I can start the clock later.
Right. It's harder for us to do in that way, even when it doesn't really even make any sense. Like for me, I'm kind of like, okay, I'm 30 now. If I don't, you know, if the pandemic, if I don't get married until like for another like 2 years, I'm 32. And then like, I'm just gonna have to baby right after I have a wedding. And then like, I'll have, you know what I mean? Like, and then just to make sure that if I want to space them, that I can have three before I'm 40 and like whatever. It's like all this whole like thing, this whole like ringing in the back of your head almost. It's like a tick. But it doesn't even make any logical sense. It doesn't really make any sense because I am pretty young. It's still something that like you just kind of feel in the back of your head.
Well, when you say like baby, don't you ever like, isn't there a thought in your head of like how much college is? like do you ever have that thought?
No, that's with like baby? 18 plus years from now.
You got to start saving now for that. Like,
I'll figure it out.
Love will conquer all. Like, We'll figure it out.
I mean, people figure it out. People far worse off than the two of us have figured it out.
Well, here's the reality of that is, let's say you got a 14-year-old kid and Mike says, well, I can't, we haven't really thought of college and I don't think I can afford that. The idea of you looking at him going, what are you, some fucking loser? You can't even afford your kid's college? Like, that doesn't happen the other way. That fight doesn't happen the other way. Like, the idea of me being like, well, Jess couldn't fucking afford college. She wasn't saving at all. What a fucking loser. I'm ending it with her. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think the connection
I guess,
of like,
I feel like you
providing...
talked about that like a little earlier.
again, but the connection of like being a provider and your worth.
Right.
Like I guess it's somewhat very tied. Male. It's not to say it isn't female, not to say that the world isn't going that way, but I'm saying if you're brought up that way, I don't think this guy in this email, to bring it back to this email, I'm not him. I'm just saying, when you say it's just so expensive, he's not talking about a wedding. He's saying life is expensive, and if I can't afford it, I am a loser.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's not ready, but like I'm saying, like to get down to, I guess, her practical advice question is like, is this something that she should be concerned about, or is this something that, like, you know, she should, like, is a normal thing? And like, to me, I mean, like, for me, it kind of like it felt concerning at the moment, but I think that like the longer we were together, especially almost like being together in COVID and just being like, it's just the two of us for so long and we got along really well, I think it's also sort of coming to terms with the realization, if it's about the like unsureness of like the relationship or about being ready, I think there's a realization of like, yeah, you're never going to be fully ready. You're never going to be like, there's never going to be a moment where you're like, okay, I have everything in a row so I can now take this step, or like, I'm going to be 100% positive that there's no one else in the world that could possibly be a better match for me. Like, a little bit of all of life is like a little bit of a crapshoot.
Well, I guess you know? Kind of, you said two things just now, like, it would concern me if the person was like, I just don't know if there's another one out there, versus I don't know if I'm ready for life to start for me.
Right.
You know, like I kind of think those are two different things. Like, yes, there's always another ship coming down the line. Like to say like the realization of being in a relationship is, yes, you're going to find other women attractive. Yes, you're going to look across the aisle. Yes, you're going to look at someone else, but your love for someone is so much that you're, you know, excited about them every time you see them walk through the door. Like, they're both can be true. Right. I think for this, to the reason I get on his reasoning is it's just so expensive. Like, you know, I would be that could be an excuse, and I hate the word excuse when it's used in relationships. That could be an excuse to buy himself time for, like, how do I get out of this thing? Or it could be the truth. You know, like, I don't know. I, like, the idea of, like, am I wasting my time? Did you feel like you were wasting your time when you got that answer, or did you feel like?
Well,
you
could... I did feel like, okay, like I appreciate the honesty, and like in some ways, I think when we were talking about marriage, he was almost like more romantic about it, like in that mm-hmm. way of like, you know, like do I think it's possible that I could find like perfect person for me, or also like I think the different ways that we viewed marriage, like I think for me. And something that he helped me sort of think about marriage differently is that he was kind of like, yeah, like you have kids together, you like go through life together, and then those kids move out. And like, we want to make sure we're with people that like we can see ourselves with beyond the kids. And for me, it was kind of like,
sure.
Cause my parents are been divorced so many times that for me, it was kind of like, yeah, let's, well, you know, we'll get married, we'll have kids, and then like, we'll see what happens. And like, so it's funny. Like, I guess the difference, yeah. like we look at it that way. He's like more romantic than me because he was thinking like 40, 50 years down the line. And I was thinking like, you know, we'll do it. Cause like,
yeah,
we're here and like, we'll see yeah. what happens. Cause like, I mean, in some ways, like I'm more of the realist in that way, because I was kind of like, there's no way that we could like, there's nothing that we could possibly do to ensure that we'll know we'll be together forever. Like we can't, there's no way to guarantee that. But like,
I think
he made me do is think about it, like, aside from, like, those life moments or checking off those milestones, like you said, like, and think about, like, where we'll be even further down the road and, like, our compatibility, like, in that way, which I do think is, like, is there.
Go ahead. I'm sorry about that.
No, it's just, I think it's just funny, like, the different ways that we were, like, envisioning our futures. And sort of reflective of like our past and like the way that we grew up and the way that our parents were married.
Totally. And also, you know, his parents are still together.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see eye to eye with his view on things. And it might be a parents divorced, parents not together thing. Cause I guess what you're saying is like, we got to get this life going before the clock runs out.
Right. And he's like, no, we've got to like think about the whole picture.
Yeah. Cause I'm watching the picture and like, I watch my parents all the time. They're still together and I watch them and I'm like, I can't believe this is still working. I can't believe, you know, that they do seem to truly enjoy each other's company, but also like they have arguments that I'm like, oh, that, is that the end right there? You know, but I do see that like this version of their life is as much a goal as the family version of their life.
Well, this is almost in some ways like that's like the more real version, like the tie it back to the very beginning of the episode. Like once you have the kids and the kids are grown up, like it's not about you anymore. And like your life isn't defined now by a series of like milestone events that you can sort of distract yourself with. It's kind of like, your parents, it's just the two of them, like, till they're fucking dead.
Hanging like, until the ground, yeah.
That's, like, that's really, like, where the big deal comes in. Like, there's no more distractions. There's not even kids that you're raising together. It's just, like, the two of you just fucking around until you die.
And I say that to them every time I visit. Look at you two. Just fucking around until you die.
I mean, really, they'll have a grandkid that they'll see like every now and then. But like the end of the day, it's like that's all you've got, really.
But even my parents are so like out of it. Like I say things to them. I guess all of us like it kind of truly shows that like everyone's fucked up. We're thinking of certain parts of our lives. And then they're like my parents are still like in that zone where like my brother and I are like 17 and 16 or 17 and 13 and just like hanging. And they're like, they can't believe that like life is moving. Like the amount of times that my mom goes, oh, you're 35. Oh, I can't believe I have a 35. She'll say, it's not even about me. She'll go, I can't believe I have a 35 year old son.
Right, it's about her. And it's like, it's the only way she's marking her own life.
Yeah.
It's through you.
It's through me. And it's like, you know, even like moving in with Jess, she's like, you're gonna move in? Like, I'm like, what are
right,
you?
Like you were 14 or something.
Yeah. Like, as if, yeah. I was like, why is this? I was like, maybe this is why I have some issues with like moving towards like the pang of her screaming at me is just, right. Yeah. I don't know. I to this woman.
Well, to this woman also, just to wrap this up, also just a thought that I forgot to say before is, like, in terms of should I move on, I did give myself, like, my own timeline in my
head.
How
much time did you give yourself?
Like, a year after we moved in, to, like, not necessarily to have it done, but to just be in agreement that that's where we were going.
Yeah.
Because I think, and I, again, it wasn't, like, even something I really vocalized, but I was just kind of like, I get that this is something that, like, takes, this idea of marriage is something that takes a little getting used to. Mm-hmm. I get that the person, like, is that this person's very logical and cautious and has seen friends get divorced and live with people that they, like, didn't wind up being with. So I'm fine. But, like, in my life, I would like to, I know that I want to marry you. And if you are not sure that you want to marry me after a year of living with me, then, like,
so
then we're on different pages. And by the by the time it was a year, like, we were on the same page. So yeah, it worked out. But if it didn't, I was like, in my head, I had to be prepared to, like, if he's still, like, unsure about this after being together 2.5 years, like, mm-hmm, I'm going to need to move on.
What's left to even be sure about at that point? Now right, we're not sure if we want the same thing. It's not about, and I would say to this person, like, I try and, I think the best advice I can give to her is just try to not take it so personally. And I know it feels very personal, but, like, when I hear the reasons she gives in her message, I'm like, yeah, these are normal things. Also, I wanted to know, before we move on to awkward sex, because this has been a whole episode. This could be...
its own episode.
Its own episode on its own. Do you ever get from women that they're from their women whose relationships didn't work out, or from hearing from other people, like, something you hear about as a guy a lot, not just a little, is, yeah, after she had the baby, totally different person. Or after she got married, totally different person. You hear, you know, that a lot from guys.
That the women change?
That the women change. And I don't, listen, you could say that's a massage. I'm just saying this is what I'm hearing back from people.
I kind of get it. There is, like, I feel like, a sense of, like, I've got this locked. I can like, really let my hair down. No, not that it wasn't like that before. I mean, we were living together.
The face you just made is horrifying to some men, but you hear this a lot. Like, I get,
that's
like,
what I love about it in some ways is, it's like, not that I feel like I'm going to become this totally different person, but that I just feel so secure that I'm like, okay, like, this feels good. This feels, like, safe. This feels secure. Like, we're on the same page. The best part about, like, the engagement glow is, like, we're both agreed. Like, we're doing this.
Yeah. I guess, like, what is it safe to do? Like, I hear these stories, and I'm being somewhat vague, but you hear the stories of, like, yeah, all of a sudden it's just cool to be like a monster. Like, I, you know, like
what are they doing?
I'm you just hear about, like, two people that are living in the same house and just don't get along on anything. You hear the stories of, like, yeah, that, you know, the engagement. I like to think I know what type of bride that Jess would be. I kind of, just from knowing you, I kind of have a feeling of what type of bride you would be. But I think that personality exists within 10% of what I think. When it goes to, like, 100% different, like, you have to go, what did I get into?
Yeah, I mean, that's, like, scary. I think that's if you did it, maybe you made a mistake or got engaged a little too soon.
I don't know. I'm giving.
Like, I don't think I'm so different, but, like, there is, like, I almost feel, like, more relaxed. If anything, I just feel, sure, like,
you've become the chill bride.
Well, not even, like, chill, like, as in a planning way, but just in a sense of, like, I have so much relationship anxiety that, like, if this is a pill that relieves anxiety, because by someone admitting to you in a very public, expensive way,
yeah,
that they are, like, in it, like, this has been very calming for me.
For
you
sure.
Know what,
okay,
I mean?
Well, I guess it can go both ways, I guess. But I'm saying, if there's
I'm
women,
I'm not, like, going to the bathroom with the door open now. Sure, but, like, sure. Do you know what I'm saying?
You got any toilet paper? boy, Jordana, you've changed.
Right.
No, I'm just saying, for the women wondering, like, you know, like, there's a lot of, like, what's to be afraid of? Oh, stop it. Grow up. And it's like, you do hear from a lot of people. These are the things that men are absorbing, is what I'm just saying. And you do absorb a little bit, like, a little bit of, like, So here's the story about this one. Like, you get these stories a lot, and I get them as the friend who's in the position, who's generally, you know, there to listen. You know, like, right. I get these stories, and I'm like, so just know that if I'm hearing it, so is the guy you're dating.
Yeah. And I think it's, again, I think it's okay to, like, I think the most important thing if someone's unsure is to just have a really honest conversation with them, not to judge them, to, like, see where they're coming from. Because, like, even in this case, I think in my personal experience, it was, like, a little tough to hear. But at the end of the day, I was like, I'm glad that we're, like, talking about it and working it through. And, like, you're not just, like, kind of, like, avoiding this conversation. You're, like, your fears, which are real and rational, are okay to talk about. And I feel like that's the kind of relationship I want to have, where we can discuss it. And, like, it's scary. It's scary for me, too. Like, we work through it. And look at him now, happy as a clam.
Happy as can be. If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you, no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com, promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10. Let's do some awkward sex. You can send in your awkward sex to UUP@Betches.com, UUP@Betches.com. Hi, J&J. Love the podcast. I'll get right to the story. Recently, I was hooking up with a new guy I hadn't been seeing for very long. We started to have sex on my couch, and in the middle of it, he asked me what I wanted. I asked him to go down on me, and he hesitated, which was slightly annoying since I never hesitate to give a guy a blowjob. Well, I don't hesitate. Weird.
I think it's kind of odd to ask someone and then hesitate. Like, that wasn't such a crazy request.
Yeah, not a crazy request.
He's like, well,
request.
What would you like me? What do you want me to do? And it was like anything besides, like, I want you to allow me to blow you. Like, he's going to be like, like, this seems like a pretty basic request if you're asking for what someone wants in bed.
Yeah, I think he asked me what I wanted. Yeah, if you ask what she wanted, I mean,
I want to blow you is the only acceptable answer.
But he ended up doing it for me. Well, he ended up doing it. What a begrudging oral is really the worst type of oral.
Agreed.
That's really nothing anybody wants. As he was going down on me, he started to freak out and gag and said there was a hair in his throat. He got up and ran to the sink and was still gagging and hacking up a lung as I was naked on the couch, wondering what the fuck's happening. I've never had someone run away from my naked body while gagging, so it was a new experience for me that kind of made me upset, but I also tried not to laugh at him for being so dramatic. I told him the hair probably came from the couch and was pumped into me by his dick, since my hair is long and hard to avoid getting everywhere. She didn't need to do that description, I don't think. I mean, I told him, listen, the hair probably came from the couch, and you probably pumped it into me with your dick. Right. My hair is pretty long, so it's hard to avoid getting it everywhere, including up my pussy.
Imagine you went to a restaurant, and there was a hair in your food, and the waitress was like, I'm sorry, like, my hair is just, like, so long that it's just everywhere, and it must have just been, like swirled into your soup.
Some things are
no
better
need to
left.
Speculate.
Yeah, you can just say the hair. Like, I do understand from her perspective, she's like trying to make it so he doesn't believe that it's his, that it's her vagina hair.
I have the world's longest pubic hair.
I have one. I keep one pubic hair very long because it's my lucky pubic hair. Like, would it? Like, let's all, like, I understand what she's doing, but also let's trust that we're with adults. You know, like, but I do also understand if you've had a hair in your throat, it is jarring. It is, like, if I have a hair in my throat, I do react like, like, to try and get it out. Like, it does hurt.
Oh, I didn't even think about it hurting. I just feel like it's, like, feels, like, gross.
It's just annoying. We haven't spoken much since. We tried to continue to have sex, but it wasn't working, and things got really awkward. We haven't spoken much since, and I think I'll laugh more at this once I get over the fact that someone ran away from my naked body while gagging so hard. LOL. What do you call this? Sincerely, deep throat hair. So, what do you think, what do you call it, first of all?
I call it hair today, gone tomorrow.
That's, I mean, that is the winner. I don't think I can do better than that. I can't, I don't know. I the hacky hump. I don't know. I got nothing. That hair today, gone tomorrow. That's the name.
It's the crux of the email.
Sure. I what do you think? Like, I'm more disgusted at the thought of how that they're on this, like, secondhand couch. You know what I mean? Like, he goes down there and there's just this couch full of hair and dust mites. Like, that's maybe we should be choosing better places to do oral.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it is tough because, you know, your hair does get everywhere. I agree. She probably shouldn't have, like, it's just like one of those things that definitely would ruin the mood
a little bit.
And but it's right. It's funny, like, the idea of, like, she's like, he recoiled at my naked body and ran away from me. And, like, obviously it's not about that, but I could still sort of envision taking that personally. Cause, like, I feel like as women, there's so much, like, invested in your sexuality or, like, how sexually appealing you are to men that even if it doesn't make any sense, you're like, the idea sure. of, like, a man running away from you, you're like,
that's my thought. What's the more polite way to do it? Like, I guess not running away, but, like, I've had to, like, cough while going down on women, and I'm always like, this is not the right time to cough. Like, just generally, right. Like, I would imagine coughing next to a vagina feels weird from the other end, right?
Yeah, I mean, imagine, I'm sure, like, given, if you think about it the other way around, like, anything besides a woman kind of, like, looking like she's really into what she's doing, if she's going down on you, is probably a little off-putting. It's like, if it's not like, oh, this is so much fun, which it's like not.
Well, some guys like the gag thing. Some women kind of overperform the gag thing where they're like, oh, 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 and you're like, okay, I know what you're getting at. I understand there's another man that liked this performance, so you're doing it for me. But I like,
you know,
I'm pretty sure that these things happened in another person. If I'm, you know, like, but if I was next to, like, a vagina and I went, like, that's kind of like the least sexual thing I could do, right?
Right. I think the better move for him would just be like, sorry, I need a second. I think there's something, like, in my mouth. Like, to just say it calmly as opposed to, like, this, like,
run away.
Ah! Yeah.
Well, I think also, like, the, what do they call this when you cough into your elbow? Like,
the vampire sneeze.
I've done that during oral where, like, you're going down, then, like, oh God, I have to cough or sneeze. And I, like, kind of remove myself from the V area and go into my elbow over here, like, into my elbow,
mm-hmm.
and then come back and make a more definitive move. I think it's all about definitive moves. You can't be running away wildly, but you can't just be coughing all over the cock or the vagina.
Right. You need some sort of, like, polite, like, do you have a tissue?
Excuse me. I don't know. But I've been in that situation where you're, like, I've been in a situation, like, where you just cough, like, kind of a phlegmy cough, and you're like, I can't do this here.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's tough to maintain the, like, mood if there's literally something that's, like, really uncomfortable.
I will say, though, I don't think it ended because of this.
I agree.
I don't think that he was like, Oh, you won't believe.
Call me when you clean your couch.
Yeah. Like, oh, she had one giant hair up her vagina and I can't go back. Like, I don't think this ended the love story.
Okay. You think it was something else?
I've also had to burp during going down on a woman.
Oh, and that's interesting.
That's really an upsetting mood breaker that you're trying not to show. So you do like the under the breath burp, but then you're like, did she feel
the air?
Was it a different, you know, like I've had that happen and it's like, you can't.
That was just me blowing softly on your vagina.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. Like, and it's like, what do? You run away and go like out in the background? Like, so you're trying, I understand the idea of like, it's a win. You're losing for trying in any way. You're just not sure of what to do. So,
right. But I agree. That wasn't the reason it ended based on earlier conversations this episode. It was probably because he just didn't want to pay for your kid's college education.
UUP at Betches.com. Let's play some games.
Okay, red flag or deal breaker? He or she drives like an asshole. And then they write, when you're dating in New York City, how would you ever know until you know, which is a fair statement.
Well, that's fair. This is one of those things. This is very sitcom where it cut, like, I didn't know. And then all of a sudden he's like, get off the road. You fucking asshole. You know, like you don't know.
Or like they have road rage. Like, what does it mean? Drive like an asshole? Like you have road rage or is like, you're just a bad driver?
Well, I would think road rage, but then you meet people that are like, there's this brand of person that thinks everyone drives like an asshole.
Okay.
You know, like, so like, are you an asshole for thinking someone drives like an asshole? Like, if this is like, so there's a piece of me that thinks that if driving like an asshole is your concern, then you are an asshole while you drive.
Right. Or you're like a very annoying backseat driver.
Oh, there's nothing worse. I mean, I have a thing with Jess where I can't trust her to do Google directions.
That's what Mike says about me, but I don't think it's accurate. And like, I get blamed, I think, a lot for direction issues that are not my fault.
Here's the accuracy. Jess is now upset. She's upset at me for bringing this up, but I'm saying, here's when I knew she couldn't be trusted. Hold on. I knew because I go, you do the map. And then she goes, right on Smith Street. Okay. And then she goes, right on Smith Street. And then I go, okay. And I'm like, left to look for Smith Street. You have the cartoon in front of you. I don't know Smith Street as much as you don't know Smith Street. So When the cartoon red line is coming up, I think it's coming up. It's coming up. It's like when you lifeguard at a pool. You tell kids not to run because running produces accidents. So you get ahead of it. A good direction giver is ahead of it and leading you into it. It's just like a good trainer at the gym. A good trainer is like, 3, 2, 1, next move. You're not left to, next move.
I get that. I am the Jess in this situation because, like, in my mind, I'm kind of like, yeah, I said it was a mile away.
No, like, no, that's not a mile away.
Do you want me to do the fucking countdown? It's like, yes, 0.9 miles.
I want,
we're getting ready
up
to turn.
I want the next one, the next street. That's what I want. I want to be led to the directions. It has gotten so bad that I am risking our lives because
putting the phone on your fucking lap. Like,
I do the phone.
That's insulting to me.
Yeah. That's better than the alternative. But
he does the same thing. I think it's very rude.
If I found out someone drove like an asshole, I don't think I would break up with them, though.
Okay.
Would you?
It depends, like, how big of an asshole are they? Like, are they, like, getting out of their car at the light to, like, go yell at the person next to them? Like, that would imply a certain level of, like, anger management issues.
That's a fair question. Let's say it's this. They don't get out of the car, but they will beep at people while at the red light.
Like, to, like, show they're, like...
Like, you asshole.
I think that might be a deal breaker. It would be, like, a little scary for me. Like, you don't know if that person has, like... people say this all the time. Like, you don't know if that person has a gun. I don't know. Yeah. Like, who are you honking at? Like, it would be, like, a little too much drama for me. And also, like, here's the thing. I'm usually the terrible driver that people are honking at. So
you're willing to give them the benefit of the doubt.
I would be like, and my dad's an asshole driver. Like, he will do that kind of thing. Like, he'll like drive up next to the person. I'm like, Dad, like, you're doing that. Like, that person is me. Like, I'm the person that like gets people. Like,
well,
have like cut the person a little slack. Like, some of us just aren't that good at driving. Like, don't like scare them.
I guess I'm with you. You're changing my mind, because in this scenario, what would bother me the most is that a woman is hypothetically putting me in the position to fight for her.
Right. Like, you're with them. You're in this car. You're a team.
Yeah. Like, if I'm in that car and she's leaning on the horn, the guy gets out and goes, "Get the fuck out, douchebag. Your girlfriend keeps beeping at me." I go, "Yeah, she beeped at you. She can fight you."
Right. She's like, "I'm on your side."
"I'm with you, buddy." Yeah. Like, and now I'm the wuss who doesn't fight. You know, like, why didn't you protect me? And it's like, okay. Like, right. That would be.
And then that also can lead itself to other issues, I feel like, with public. I'm just trying to generally avoid, like, public fights with strangers. So if the person's I'm into that, that's a bad sign for me.
Absolutely. Let's do another one. Hey, okay. J&J, red flag deal breaker. He brings a bath towel to the pool. I live in a large apartment building in downtown Chicago with a pool. You know the scene. I keep seeing guys, at least in their upper 20s, bringing a plain gray or white shower towel down to the pool. Pretty positive the same one they wiped their balls with earlier this morning. Is this normal? Are men just that simple where they see no reason to have a separate towel for this? I can answer this plainly. We don't see. No, men are very much need towel at pool. I have towel. Like, it's not more.
Right, you're not looking for your specific beach towel.
Oh, but what beach towel will I bring to the pool? No, they're like, no, I need to dry off. It's very mechanical. There's no thought of a woman not dating them because they don't have a beach towel.
Would you care if a woman didn't have a beach towel?
No, I wouldn't even think twice.
Yeah, I think I might like notice it, but I don't think I would really care at all. I feel like, in the grand scheme of like available men who are like very desirable, that's pretty low on my list. Like, all else is great is how we play this game. I'm letting that slide.
Well, here's the other thing. Let's say it's the opposite. Let's say you see a guy come down to the pool with his tote and his like a million different like suntan lotions and his beach hat, his big floppy beach hat. Like, what if he's like, like, it looks like Coco Chanel at the pool.
That's almost more of a turnoff.
Right? That's what I would think.
It didn't even show, like, very high maintenance and, like, not really, like, particularly chill.
Yeah.
You want somewhere in between those two. Like, they've got, like, a designated beach towel and, like, a little bit of sunscreen.
Yes.
Maybe. Obviously, not that into sunscreen, but, like, fine.
Bro Chanel. Let's do one more.
Too much is bad, too. Okay, quick question on that line for you. What if a girl is wearing heels to the pool? Like big wedges.
Heels to the pool, I'm in. I think,
okay.
Like, to me, she cares so much about how she looks at the pool that she has to be, like, looking for fun. Like, it's a no-pressure situation. You see that a lot in Vegas.
I always look at those girls, and I'm, like, shocked.
Jess just yelled, "You're wrong." I'm just saying, heels at the pool, you see that and you go, it's tacky, but you're not like, it's not like I'm like, how could I be in bed with such a woman? Like, I'd be.
Wait, they're definitely putting in a lot of effort.
Sure. And when you put in a lot of effort like that, I would assume that it's all very surface level, and that would be, I'm okay with that for for a certain type of time when I'm in Vegas. Like that.
Fair enough. Okay. Last one. Red flag or deal breaker. He has an actual mugshot on his Hinge profile under the prompt of "my mugshot." True story. This person, for the listeners at home, she sent a screenshot. The prompt is "my mugshot." And this guy has like a actual jail mugshot that is like overlaid with like, I think like the name of the prison or something.
Yeah.
Or it says jailbase.com.
Here's the problem. He's pretty good looking. Like, you can't look at it's not a bad picture of him.
He looks like very smug.
Yeah, he looks like he had a rough night. It looks like he had a few too many to drink. I mean, if someone's putting this on their dating profile, they're just screaming at you, I'm not ready for a relationship.
Yeah. No one, they're not, they want the profile to say as little, to stay as far away from father of your children as possible.
They're saying, I hope, you know, this guy is like, I'll meet you out. This guy is just everything that a lot of people are avoiding. But there's someone out there that might be like, I just need a fun time. He's probably a fun time.
Even in that way, though, like, why would you meet a stranger from the internet that's showing you that they've been in prison? Like,
this is
it's
fair.
Like, show me your gun collection, and then where? What time do you want to meet? Like,
that is fair. I have to say that, but
it would be a deal breaker for me. But I assume that prompt is supposed to be like ironic or something.
I guess. He's trying to say like, ask me about this one. Like, someone will ask him about that. Like, if I was to advise a woman, I'd say stay away. Unless you want the most casual thing ever. To me, guy with mugshot and woman with heels at the pool are kind of looking for the same things.
They're a perfect match.
Yes.
Some woman at the pool with heels is going to... I mean, there are women who date serial killers who are on, like, death row.
Yeah, so
There will be people who respond to that.
Absolutely.
Anyway, that's our episode.
We did it again. Jordana... congratulations once again. I'm happy we hashed it out. We had quite a conversation. I think people enjoy it.
For sure. This was a fun episode, sort of.
We'll be back next week. Boom.
You Up is hosted by Jared Fried.
And Jordana Abraham. Our editor is Sean Kilby.
Social media by Abby Lloyd. Artwork by Brittany Levine.
Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow us at UUPpod on Instagram and email your questions to UUP@Betches.com.
Betches.